You know, it's amazing how we are his masterpiece and we can redefine ourselves. We don't have to be useless. But you know, the crackpot that I talked about, you don't have to stay cracked for the whole, your entire life. Okay? We can change. And that's what we're going to talk about next, is being changed by his grace. And it's amazing how God allows us to be changed and that we don't have to stay the way we are, caught up in our mistakes, caught up in our failures, caught up in our false views of ourselves, but we can be changed through him. You know, one of the things that I love is, you know, women, we go through many changes, don't we? We go through puberty. Okay. You remember that time, right? We go through, you know, later on, we just go through many. We have babies. You know, we get big and hopefully lose some of the weight. And then we go through menopause. Right? And for those of you who have not been through it, I'm getting hot flashes recently for the first time. So anyway, going to start. But you know, can we actually make ourselves go through puberty? Say, body, do this. Can we just suddenly go, I want to go through menopause right now and get it done with? No. In the same way, change cannot be forced. It is through the power of God, the power of God, that we can change. And not because we go, oh, I'm going to start being more gentle and loving and patient. That's not how we change. It's by God's power and only his power that we can change. And, you know, it was funny. We talked about having babies. How many of us have had babies? Okay. It's funny. My two daughters are pregnant right now. And as soon as they heard that they were pregnant, you know what they did? They went out and bought pregnancy clothes. And they put it on, even though their, like, stomach is totally flat, you know? I'm like, honey, you don't need to wear that yet. But I did the same thing. As soon as I found out I was pregnant, I was like, maternity clothes, I'm going to put them on. I want everybody to know I'm pregnant. But what happens when you have your second baby? Those of you who had your second baby, you wait till the very last minute, don't we, for those maternity clothes. You don't want to look pregnant yet. And for the lucky ones who've had three or more children like me, your normal clothes become your maternity. Your maternity clothes are your normal clothes. See, you know, I just wear the baggy stuff. So you don't notice all the ways that you're drooping down there. You know, we don't like some of these changes in our body, do we? And some of us don't like change. So I'm one of those people who doesn't like change. And you know, I want to ask you, in Colossians chapter 1, though, it says in verse 1 through 6, in the New Living Translation, it says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it has changed your lives from the day you heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So when we hear the message of grace, we automatically should be changed by it. And it says it should change our lives. It should change other people's lives. And that's the good news. We don't have to be stuck anymore. And we're going to talk about how do we get unstuck. But, you know, I talked about how do you view change in your life. You know, some of us don't like change. And then we blame other people, don't we? Well, I can't change because of my mom. She just gets mad at me all the time, and I just get mad back, you know? Or we just think, my neighbor is so rude, it just gives me an attitude. Or we think, even our sister or your brother or somebody that's close to you, we blame them for the way we are. Maybe it's your in-laws, you know? I don't want to be an in-law like that. I try not to, but hopefully my sons-in-laws don't feel that way. But, you know, remember, you know, think about somebody. I know somebody who lived in a perfect world, in Eden. Who was that? Eve. Next slide, please. Eve lived in a perfect world. And, you know, maybe the perfect world looked like this. It looked like the Rocky Mountains, you know. Beautiful lake. Maybe Eden looked like this. I don't know. That's where this is what my land looks like, where I'm from. Or maybe it looked like Victoria Falls in South Africa. Well, actually, it's not in South Africa, but near here. In Zimbabwe and Zambia. I know where it is. But, you know, but it's near here. You could take a plane flight and see Victoria Falls. Maybe this is what Eden looked like. Or maybe you're more into the tropics and you love the beaches. Yeah, like the Caribbean, you know, and Jamaica and all those places. But whatever those kind of places were, Eve was living in it. Can you imagine that? She lived in a perfect world with a perfect guy, with a perfect father, with a perfect body. Then they get too jealous. With a perfect, you know, she didn't have any scars. She didn't have any abuse. She didn't even have to pay rent. Who pays rent here? She didn't have a mortgage. Who pays mortgage? You know, she got to live there for free. She didn't have to go to restaurants and pay for anything. All the food was right there. It was paradise. Paradise, guys. And then on top of that, let's read in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 25, it says, "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." On top of all that, there was no sin, no regret, no shame. No condemnation, no guilt. Imagine that. And maybe you've thought to yourself, if I lived in a perfect world, I wouldn't have done that. You know, and we don't know how long Eve lived in this perfect world before she sinned. But imagine living in a perfect world. Will a perfect world keep you from sinning? Ask yourself, how long would it take for you in a perfect world, if your mom and dad weren't as mean to you, or if your brother and sister didn't beat you up when you're younger, or if you didn't have, you know, your school friends who maybe teased you or whatever, if you didn't have all that, how long do you think you would have lasted without sinning? Think about it. I know a young woman, 17 years old, and she lived in almost a perfect world. Her father was a very famous doctor in New York City. She grew up in a big, huge house, about 1,000 square meter home. She had, living right next to New York City, have 1.5 hectares of land with a swimming pool, tennis court, apple orchard, greenhouse, butler, maid. She had expensive show horse cars. She flew places to see her boyfriend. And you know, if you wonder, what did this girl turn out to be like, living like this? You would think, oh, she's given everything. She should have probably been a pretty good girl. She wasn't. She fell into immorality, drug abuse, alcohol, materialism, lied, cheated, stole. She had all this money. She still did that. That was me. I lived a dream life, but was the ultimate of sinners. I'm going to show you my house that I grew up in. That was my house with my family. That's my three daughters, and that's my son-in-law. My other son-in-law is not in the photo, but that was my house. You can only see half of it. That's my 1,000 square meter home, but we don't own it anymore. But that's where I grew up in. And we had a tennis court, swimming pool. We had all the works. You know, it was really nice. But, you know, it doesn't, and this is what we strive for, don't we, ladies? We want the better life. If I just had a little bit more money, if I had just a nicer job, if I had a nicer car, then I'd be a better person. Satan has got you. Satan has deceived you. Let's read in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the trees in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Well, listen to what the serpent says. "You will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Okay, I want to ask you. She knew without any question she was not supposed to eat from that tree, right? Have you ever committed a deliberate sin? You know it's wrong. How do you feel? I kind of feel worse with deliberate sin than when I sin by accident, okay? By accident, I don't feel that guilty. When I deliberately sin, I feel really bad. Well, she deliberately sinned. But, you know, here's the way she went. You know, I don't know, maybe some of you struggle with materialism and you just go, "Ooh, that's a pretty dress. I like that." And you go look, you see it past the nice department store, really expensive one, and you look at the price and go, "Ooh, I can't afford that." And you go, "Gotta walk away. No, 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 no." And then what happens is you go, "Maybe I can get it cheaper on the internet. I'll look and see if there's some discount stores that have the same dress, and I'll see if I can buy it." And then you look at some prices, still a little more than I should pay. And then you walk by that same store again. "Ooh, look at that cute, oh, that would look, I'm gonna just try it on." And you try it on, and it fits you perfect, and it tucks in your tummy perfect, and it's like it just accentuates your shape really nicely, and your bum doesn't stick out as much, and you just go, "That is the dress." And then you go back on the internet and you go, "Maybe I can somehow figure out how to pay for this, because it's a little bit cheaper. It's not as expensive as the one in the department store." That is what Eve did. Because what is she doing? Hanging out. Thank you. What is she doing? Hanging out by the tree. Here she's in this big, huge paradise. And she's standing in front of the tree. She's like walking by. Nice tree. Woo. Not supposed to eat that one. If I say, "Don't think of a red balloon," what are you going to think about right now? You're going to think about a red balloon. Oh, nice tree. Maybe I should get a little closer. Yeah, well, and Adam was standing next to her. They're both looking at that tree. Ooh, that looks really good. Well, let's see what happens next in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Then they ate it, and then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the men, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me." Don't we blame other people? He's blaming God. "You gave me this woman who made me sin. She gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" Okay. So they're hiding. When you sin deliberately, what do you do? Duh. We hide, don't we? We don't want anybody to find out. You know, and the sad thing is, next slide, Adam and Eve went from a place of no shame. We just read that. No shame to a place of shame. And they were hiding from God. Don't you think God already knew they messed up? So how can we change and find grace in our place of shame? Next slide. And so I just have two short points that I want to talk about. Because we don't have to stay in our shame. We can be changed. Okay? We've all done deliberate sin. Who has not done deliberate sin in here? Okay? There's nobody in here who's never done deliberate sin. Okay? If you have, I don't think you should be here because you should be with God. We've all done it. And so here's the first point I want to talk about is remember who you are in Christ. For those of us who are Christians, we've got to remember who we are in Christ. So many times we forget and instead we hide. I want to tell you about a special friend of mine. Her name is Masako. And she worked for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Japan, and she came and had lunch with me. We became friends and everything. And what happened was the prince of Japan was looking for a wife. And in order to be chosen to be his wife, they did a whole background check on you. You couldn't even have a parking ticket. You couldn't have anything on your record. You had to have gone to a really good school. You even had to get checked whether you were a virgin or not. You had to be a virgin. And lo and behold, my friend Masako was picked for a date. And after her date, we got together for lunch, and she told me about it. And she's like, "Oh, I don't know. It's a prince, and I can't believe it. Da, 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 da." And she was actually really flattered to be chosen to go on a date. Well, unbeknownst to her, she was chosen to be his wife. She's now the princess of Japan. And you know what happened was, you know, she was chosen, she became the princess, and she had to change because now she was chosen. She couldn't go, "Hey, nice to see ya." High five. She now belonged to the country of Japan. She represented Japan. So she would be like, "Hi, nice to see you again, Erica." And I got to go to a reception and go meet the prince. It was really cool. But she was just, you could just see in her face, she was so happy that she was chosen. And that she had a beautiful dress on, and she just was, oh, it was amazing. But she had to change because of it, and it changed who she was. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, "But you, those of you who are Christians, are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him called you out of the darkness into his light." You know, God brought you out of darkness into his light. You became royalty. You were chosen. You are holy. It says you're special. That's amazing. We're special. I want to take you back a little bit and remind you. Remember when you were baptized and became a Christian? This is my daughter getting baptized. But, you know, afterwards she was like, Mama, I feel like I'm walking on a cloud. I'm so pure. I have no sin. I don't want to sin for at least an hour. I want to keep it like this. I go, hopefully you can keep it for an hour, honey. But, you know, you just feel like I'm newly clean. Remember that feeling? I remember I felt like I was walking on a cloud. And I felt like my feet were just floating. I was so excited. But you know what happened? After my mother killed herself, what happened was I was going to my mother's funeral. And my maternal grandmother, my mother's mother, pulled me aside. And she goes, you were with your mom that whole week before she killed herself. What did you say to her to make her do it? Oh my gosh. I'm at her funeral. And that made me spin out. I heard those words over and over on a tape recorder. And you know, I just forgot about everything. All I heard was that. And you know what sometimes happens is when we go through a time like that and somebody says something, the wrong thing, we lose our perspective. We forget who we are. We forget we're chosen. We forget that we're royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're special to God. We forget what a blessing we have in Christ. And that's what Eve did. She forgot. For that one moment to get that whatever fruit it was, people think it's apple or pear or whatever. For that one moment, she forgot who she was. She was God's special daughter. She was in paradise. She was in the perfect world. She had everything. And she forgot. I forgot. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. And Paul even says this. He says this to the church in Corinthians because they had fallen into sin. He says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, we're talking about Jesus, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. How many of us who are Christians have lost this sense of pure devotion to Christ? We forgot about his grace. We forgot what a gift we were given. And the reason is because there's stuff like that that has happened. You know, we go through, maybe as a Christian, what's happened is you've gone through death. You've prayed hard and you said, please God, help my father not to die of cancer. Please God, and you fast about it. And he dies. Maybe you worked hard, you just served the church so hard, and then all of a sudden you got sick. And the doctor said, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to do hardly anything for the rest of your life. And the things, the dreams that you had, the disappointments suddenly take over, and we forget who we are, and we get stuck in our stories that we rewrite. And Satan loves to rewrite our stories. You see, those church people, they're bad. You see, you don't have any friends, no one cares about you. You see, you're never going to change. You're trying so hard, but you're never going to change. All those things that happen to us beat us down and down and down. And that's what happened. My grandmother's words beat me down and down and down. And I read this scripture in Acts chapter 2 in verse 34 through 36. And the New Revised Standard Version says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord,'" God is talking to Jesus, "'sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.'" You know, when you think of a footstool, what do you think of? Something you climb on to get, you know, things. In my kitchen, I put all my nicest stuff up high because I don't want people to grab it and use it, you know, for normal use, because I have people over at my house all the time and they grab stuff out of my cupboards, which I don't mind as long as they don't use my really nice stuff. So I leave it up high and I use my footstool to get up to my nice stuff. We want to go higher when we want to use a footstool. And we use a footstool. Well, here, God is talking to Jesus and saying, "I'm going to make your enemies a footstool." What does that mean? Your enemies a footstool? That means that when we get something coming against us, like Jesus, they become our footstool. We can get to a higher place. I don't know if you've ever heard this story about a donkey. There was a farmer who was digging a well. Next slide. And he was digging this well, and this donkey fell in. And he goes, "Oh, man, I just dug this deep hole with pure water, and now this donkey has messed it up." So he called all these other farmers, and he said, "Listen, I don't know what to do. What do you guys think?" They all stood around the hole and said, "Looks like we just have to throw dirt in here and we can't save your donkey. He's too heavy to pull out." So they started putting dirt into the hole. And guess what the donkey did? The dirt came down and he went like this. Stepped on the dirt. More dirt came down. Until, believe it or not, when the well was all filled up with dirt, he was on top of the dirt. And he just walked out of that well, doing fine and dandy. You know, there are going to be people. There's going to be situations that try to push you down and beat you down. But you know what? God allows that to bring us higher. Those are footstools in our life to make us better, to help us to change. And we got to remember who we are. And that's how we're going to change. And say, "No, I'm a daughter of God. Nope, I'm a holy nation. I'm special. I'm chosen. I'm the apple of God's eyes. I'm loved. I'm special. God wants us to be lifted higher, not brought down. Don't let the things bring you down. And so the second thing I want to talk about is remember what you've been given. You know, we talked about deliberate sin, right? When we do deliberately sin, it makes us feel bad, and we feel more guilty about it. And it says in here, in Genesis, in this next verse, as we read farther down, it says in verse 20 to 22, "The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for the man and for his wife, and he clothed them." Okay, I want to draw this picture for you. Adam and Eve were naked. They felt no shame. They suddenly were still naked, But this time they felt shame because they sinned deliberately. So what does God do? I can't believe you did that. What is your problem? I put you in paradise, gave you everything perfect, and look what you did. No, he didn't do that. God showed them grace. He said he made covering for them. Out of what? It says he clothed them with garments of skin. Where did he get the skin from? Animals. He sacrificed animals. He killed animals and covered Adam and Eve and tried to cover their shame for them. Isn't that incredible? This is the Old Testament. Jesus has not died on the cross yet. And then this is what God does. You know, look at this. I want to look a fig leaf. Can you imagine putting that over your top? That doesn't really cover much. And over, you know, the bottom here. It doesn't cover much. And besides, after it's been off the branch for a while, it kind of wilts and doesn't look very good, right? But God says, I'm going to give you garments of animal skin. It's kind of like, next slide, it's like kind of like having rags and God giving you this princess dress. That's what it's like. And, you know, I want to tell you something. This is kind of hard for me to say, but after my mother died, I was pregnant. I was already pregnant while my mother killed herself. I was 4 months pregnant. And when my dad called me and told me that my mom killed herself, he said, why don't you come home? Well, I had started bleeding that morning. And so I got an emergency appointment with my OBGYN, and he said, you can come in before you, fly out. And he examined me, and he said, if you get on that plane, you're going to lose that baby. I deliberately sinned. I lost my baby during my mom's memorial service. I just saw a picture of my daughter's babies. They're only 2 months in their tummy. And, you know, you have the ultrasound now these days, you know. I had my babies a long time ago, but we didn't have those fancy things. Anyway, you could see the baby moving. You could see their fingers and their toes. And I thought, 4 months. There's no forgiveness for something like that. That's how I felt. And I hid. I was so ashamed. The next day was the funeral. After I lost the baby, I went to the funeral, gave a eulogy, and I said, and I acted like nothing happened. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, okay, Christ died for Erica. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. God knew. He knew I was going to do that. And he still died for me. And you know, sometimes you just go, oh, how can I be forgiven? And during that time, God showed his wonderful grace to me because I said, I've got to confess something. Oh, thank you so much. I've got to confess something. And I was in Japan. And I called these two sisters and I said, I'm going to fly back to the U.S. and I need to talk to somebody. But they said, we'll come out to you. And they came out to me. And they didn't judge me. They didn't condemn me. They didn't tell me what a wretch I was, although I felt that way. And they just hugged me as I wept. And I'm talking weeping. You know, God was so kind. And God will do that for us. And I'm sure that you've been through some tough times and God gave you the perfect person. Maybe it was even a perfect message or a perfect moment. And you felt his loving hand just holding you and saying, it's okay. I forgive you. I held on to that for a long time, a long, long time. But it's what changes us is not condemnation. God didn't do that to us. And you know, sometimes that love can really change a life. And I want to show you a video about, this is made in Thailand, and it's a commercial, but it really touched my heart. You know, at a moment in this little boy's life when he deliberately sinned, he stole medicine for his mom. It was for a good cause, but he stole it. A poor, you know, merchant who ran a little tiny restaurant paid for his medicine, paid for vegetable soup for his mom. And then when he, 30 years later, fell and had a really serious illness, the doctor happened to be that little boy. And he paid the bill, he said, because it was already paid for 30 years ago. You know, that's what God does. He paid the bill 2,000 years ago. And you know, why did this little boy change and become a great doctor and help other people? Because somebody showed him kindness. Somebody showed him grace. And when we remember what we've been given, and we remember the kindness that Jesus showed us, then we want to change, don't we? Then we want to be different. And what's so cool to end this session, I want to end with a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, 6. It says, for in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, that's Jesus, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. Jesus doesn't want to shame you. He knows our imperfections. He knows our sin. This is not to excuse sin. And we're going to talk about this in the next session. He knows we're not perfect and we're sinners. But he will never, ever put us to shame. And so I want to end here and say, remember what you have in Christ. You are royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're chosen. You're special. You're loved. And then remember what you've been given, that you've been forgiven for so much. The moment that you sinned, God forgives you. And then, you know, we carry around that guilt for a long time. But God, Jesus already forgave us the moment we turned around and said, oh man, I messed up. I'm so sorry. And so hopefully you'll let his grace change you. And let's not be condemned in our sin, but let's be convicted and be motivated to change. Thank you.